Hi everyone, it's Elaine Hamilton from the Reiki Centre. I would like to reflect on this beautiful interview that I saw recently with Angelo and Gangaji. Gangaji is a very beautiful spiritual teacher. She's been around a long time, and I don't know, like, take a look at her if you haven't discovered her already, because her transmission, the energy that comes off her, is just amazing. And towards the end of this interview, around about 48 minutes in, she said something that just completely floored me. And I've just been searching to get that wording correct, because I don't know. She's talking about inquiry. And in a lot of spiritual traditions, there is this element of inquiry in terms of looking back behind the thinking. And we talk about this a lot in Reiki. It's like when we have that homecoming, that feeling when we do our Reiki practice of things just dropping away and feeling more and more aligned. What are we referring to? Like, what is this alignment that we intuitively feel when we do our Reiki practice? And I just thought, oftentimes there's this seeking or searching mechanism, and we're very familiar with that. It's the, oh, if I get this promotion, I'll be happy. If I get this nice house, I'll be happy. If I get the latest, like, iPhone, I'll be happy. So there's a lot of external reaching out for things. And I talk about this a lot, but it's this idea that there is a seeking. And oftentimes we feel very lost because we think we don't know what we're seeking, or we think that the seeking, the goal, is somehow just out of our reach. So then we get the promotion, we get the house, we get the car, we get the whatever, we get the relationship. But even in all of our success, or the lack of success in the grasping, there is always this underlying sense of dissatisfaction, or what the Buddhists would call suffering. And it's not, I'm not referring to suffering as in pain or illness or deprivation. I'm talking about that mental suffering that we often get engaged with, and then we go out and we seek more. And actually, what we refer to a lot on this channel, and a lot of spiritual teachers talk about, is the stepping back, all the way to the source. Because essentially, it's the source of our being that we yearn for. So the way that Gangaji writes it is really this acknowledgement. So she says that the something that was really being searched for, and then accepting that to know that you want it, it's proof that it's here. Because you can't search for something if there's not a reference point. And the reference point is the truth of your identity. Oh my God. Literally, I'm like, what? That's so profound. And so I kind of wanted to really labor this point that oftentimes we think we're searching for something, we don't know what it is. We can't find it. We've lost it. But actually, this idea of reference point is so important. Like, we know exactly what it is, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be searching for it. And I use an example, because I was quite old. Like, I still remember when I realized I needed glasses. And I had no idea, right? How would you? Because I didn't have a reference point. So I never had good eyesight. So how was I supposed to know I didn't have good eyesight? And I remember when I first put on a pair of glasses and I could see the individual leaves on the tree outside my window. And I must have been about 7 or 8. And I just sat there at my bed, like, staring at this tree for ages. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so many things then made sense, because up till then I'd been stuck at the back of the classroom because I was always quite tall. So they used to, in the old days, they used to put the tall ones back in the back. And I remember just thinking, I don't understand how people are seeing the board. But because I didn't have a reference point, it never occurred to me that they could see it differently to me. I just thought that I was stupid because I couldn't see what they were seeing. And so this whole idea, and if you reflect back to something similar, maybe there's something that you've discovered about yourself. Maybe it's a neurodivergence. Maybe it's a certain capacity that you don't have, like if you're colorblind, or if you don't have the same sense of smell as other people, or maybe like myself, you have issues with your sight. I mean, so many different things. And then when you suddenly realize, oh, this is the reason, because I don't see things the same way as other people, then your reference point changes. Like now I have a reference point of what good eyesight looks like. I can now refer back because I know what that is now. Like I know that it is possible to see the leaves on the tree. It is possible to sit at the back of the classroom and read what's going on the board in front. Before I got my own pair of glasses, I did not know that. So coming back to what Gangaji is saying is we know deeply what it is we yearn for. And there is this movement that we're doing, which is an outward movement, which is the opposite of what we should be doing. So it's literally like, instead of putting on glasses to correct my sight, I'm trying to make the board and the writing on the board change. I'm trying to will it to change. I'm trying to do everything I can in my power to make the board change, when actually I'm the one back here that is needing the different reference point. Don't know if that makes sense, but I wanted to play around with this. So the reference point being the truth of your identity, this is the idea that when we can get under the thinking and when we can get under our yearning. So this is a really interesting thing to play with, is like, I'll sit there when I'm sitting there in meditation. So I had it just this morning. So I'm sitting there in meditation and I'm pondering this really profound concept that, okay, in order for me to be yearning for peace or yearning for quiet or yearning for stillness, that must already exist in me, because I need to know that it's missing, right? Like, how do I know it's missing if I don't already have access to it? So this idea that when we go into meditation or when we go into our Reiki practice, we visit this place. Now, the next thing is to just consider whether or not you know that's a beautiful place to be or not. Like there's a certain yearning for it. What is it that you are striving for out there? What is it that you're hoping to get out there? And what is making you think you don't already have it, right? So there is this thing whereby when you're doing your Reiki practice or meditation, you're getting really quiet, you're settling the thoughts. When the thoughts are very gentle and they're just moving in and out, is there really an issue? Is there really a problem? Or are you not already in a state of peace and calm and contentment right here without the thoughts? And then just watch what happens. So this morning, as I was sitting there meditating on this concept with Gangaji, I had a thought, and the thought was, I need to go on retreat with her. I need to go and visit with her. And as soon as that thought came in, I noticed this tightening, this contraction, all the way from my chest, all the way up into my head. It was very, very interesting. It was like, almost like my body solidified around the belief, I need to go and see her. And it solidified itself into a want, a desire that hadn't been there a second ago. And it then became a thing. And then if I hadn't caught it, because I caught it, I was like, whoa, what's that? That's super interesting, right? Like my whole body kind of went. And I know if I hadn't caught it, I would have been, oh yeah, I need, and more thoughts would have come in about how she's the one that will help me. She's the one that will give me clarity. And out it goes. And before I know it, I'm planning my air trip and booking holiday and doing all that stuff, right? Which is exactly what we do. And the further out I go, the more I think I need it, because the further I've gone from my own homecoming, from my own base. And then as soon as I saw that, it was really kind of fascinating, because I'm like, wow, okay, so if I just drop that hook, that contraction, when I just breathe into it and allow it to relax again, then there I am, back into the inner peace and the contentment and the quiet, until the next thought comes in, whatever that is. And then the next thought comes in. And so it's almost like when we practice our meditation or Reiki practice, looking out for that baseline, because that baseline is what we're yearning for. And in that space, there's no problem. There is contentment and there is peace. And there's everything that we are saying that we want through the outward expression and grasping, and this will make me happy and that will make me happy. And even the thought, this will make me happy when, puts in a timeline. And as soon as you put in time, you start to build in stress. And this is another thing, just honestly, just test it out for yourself. You sit there, get yourself into that baseline of peace and quiet and okayness, and then watch. That's partly a big practice as well. Like, to be honest, it's taken me a long time just to get to that I can see that. And I will say that I do think many, many days of silent meditation and retreats has been really helpful to get me to that point. But I'm not saying that everyone needs to do that. I do think a lot of people can just be doing that in their 15-minute Reiki practice. If you're sending Reiki just to yourself and you're healing and you've got some music, but the alertness needs to be there. Like, what is happening when you think a thought? So isolating those thoughts, whatever thought comes in, where do you feel it in your body? Is it a contraction? And what I've noticed is that any thought that I believe creates a sense of contraction in my body. That's the best way I can describe it, like a tightening or a sensation. And it almost feels like you have this thought, and then I make it real. I make it dense. So there's this feeling of density, of authentic realness that comes around thoughts when you start to believe them. And then obviously other thoughts come in. So it's like they come in to make it bigger and more real and more valid. And when you can start to play around with this, just play around with the inquiry of what is happening when I hook into a thought, and then there's an energy movement that happens as well. So not only is there a physical contraction in the body, but there is also an energy movement which takes you away from the present moment. Now, I'm doing this because my thoughts tend to take me forwards into the future, or the ones that I'm referring to now, but you might also get the ones that are taking you back. It might not feel like you're going back. It might still feel like you're projecting forwards. But this is also the inquiry when you start thinking about things that happened in the past and they have a certain energy to it. And then this happened and that happened. And I should have said this and I should have done that. And I wish I'd said this and done that. Boom, boom, boom. Where is your energy going then? And the same thing, like, where is the contraction? Now, what I've noticed for myself is it's a very similar mechanism. So it's not really about whether I'm thinking forwards or backwards in the future or in the past. It's just the thinking mechanism itself has a very predictable process that happens. And it's like this movement of energy. So there's a contraction, first of all, in my body. Things get tighter and more dense. And then I'm trying to make it real. And this is all unconscious. So it's all happening unconsciously. And the only way that I catch it is when I'm meditating and I notice it's happening. And then there's a very clear step by step. And the reason why I'm recommending that we take time to look at this is because that's the path of freedom. When you can start to break that down and realize, this is not real. I put a lot of energy unconsciously. There's a lot of energy that goes into making these thought processes real and making them have weight and making them then have emotional energy, because then the emotional energy starts to come in as well. The energy of not being enough, of this isn't enough. I, like, for example, I need to go on retreat and see Gangaji because I'm not enough. I can't do this on my own. And that is a really interesting kind of movement because it sucks you in. And it's all just baloney. Like, it's how can somebody else give me what is already mine? I already have a reference point. Because if I didn't have a reference point, I wouldn't know what I was missing. So I already have that reference point, just as you do. So whatever it is you're yearning for, whatever it is you're wishing for, you break it down to the absolute basic. So a lot of people say, oh, I want to be financially secure, or I want to be happy, or I want to be in like a really powerful or good intimate relationship, like whatever the top layer is that you think you want. Why? What's the feeling it's going to give you? What's the security you're looking for? And go back down, because normally when you say I want to be happy, what does that even mean? But like, happy why? And I think for many of us, we'll be like, oh, I want to be happy because then I can stop all this unhappy thoughts. But then just go to the unhappy thoughts and just stop them. Like, what's under that? The same with financial security. We're like, oh, I feel much better if I have financial security. Well, why? Because it will stop all those unhelpful thoughts about how I'm, my fear, you know, my fear of not having enough money or my fear of my future or whatever. So what if you just unhooked yourself from those thoughts instead? And so it's like really getting... It's the different levels of inquiry. The first level of inquiry is to really get down to the nitty-gritty of why you think you need all this external stuff. And then as you come back towards the inner truth, what it is, well, I mean, I can't speak for yourself, but for me, I want freedom from constantly being dragged around by my thinking. I don't want to be at the beck and call of my thinking. I want to see my thinking for what it is. And my thinking is just random. It's just a whole bunch of thought energies that are vying for my attention. And when I put my attention into it unconsciously, my body gets involved, my emotions get involved, and it attracts more thinking around the same lines. And so then what happens is my consciousness, my awareness gets sucked into these thought patterns. And in a sense, I lose myself. Like, I lose my connection to what I truly am, right? As Gangaji says, your true connection to the truth of who you are, your identity. And by identity, I'm not saying this person, I'm saying the truth of your awareness or consciousness or that deep well of peace and stillness from which we come. So do take a look at the interview. It's a beautiful interview. And yeah, just amazing. Just such a beautiful turn of phrase. She has a beautiful energy. Love her to bits. And maybe I will go on retreat with her one day. Who knows? But it is not a need. Like, none of this is a need for any of us. We are the only ones that can take that backward step. into ourselves and look at the mechanism that is going on. What is the mechanism at work here that we keep getting sucked into? Before I referred to it as a matrix, but this is not really the bigger matrix. This is our internal mechanism of thinking, and really spending time observing that thinking and what's happening to the body, what's happening to your physiology, what's happening to your emotions. Most importantly, though, what's happening to the daydreaming? So you have one thought that comes up, and as soon as there's a little energy around it, then whoosh, you can feel it. It's amazing. It goes oof, off it goes. And then lots of other thoughts come in. And then before you know it, you're booking airplane tickets. Amazing, really amazing. So yeah, play around with that, because it's a fascinating study, and it is a very interesting study as well. It will keep you very engaged in your meditation. If you've got to a point in your meditation where you're a bit like, I don't really quite know what I'm doing here, or your Reiki practice, is just start resting, just resting as the stillness itself, before the thinking. So what is before the thinking? Resting there and then watching the bubbling as it comes up, because that's where the really juicy stuff is. Because once you see it, then it's like, oh, this isn't me. The thought patterns is not me. It's almost like my energy just gets pulled into it so easily. And in that ease of being entangled, then I lose myself. That's when the feeling of lack comes. But the feeling of lack is really an acknowledgement that you've left yourself, you know, to go into the thinking. So, but then we have this thought of, oh, that means something's missing. No, nothing's missing. You've left your base. So the untangling is simply to drop all those thought patterns that are pushing you outwards. You don't have to do anything. You just have to relax and release all of those thought patterns that are dragging you around. That's the real freedom, right? When you see all that. So interesting. Lots of food for thought there. And drop me a note in the comments what you think about that. And thanks so much for listening.